All right, we are here. Welcome. Welcome. A pleasure to see you again, to talk with you, to be with you. Today we're going to discuss busting boxes. When you initially made the choice to become physical, to enter into physical manifestation as a glorious adventure, yeah, you really thought it was going to be a heck of a lot of fun. Right? You wanted to explore every possibility. But you needed some kind of structure to work within. Because, dear ones, from that other perspective, the beyond perspective that you were, the possibilities that you had were so expanded. There was so much available for you. There was so much that you could do. You had to limit yourself. You had to limit your possibilities. You had to construct an illusion that had dimension, that had a consistency that you could work with. And this reality that you created and co-created and put together for your exploration pleasure, to participate in a great consciousness experiment, had to be limited to the physical plane, which meant that you had to go within the dimensions of time-space and create within a three-dimensional context, a real, solid, absolutely believable reality. So you had to work with three dimensions. Three dimensions define your box. So you're in a box. You're always in a box, so to speak, as long as you're in a physical body and three-dimensional. Now, that doesn't mean that you are not functioning or operating with connections to, and even sometimes conscious awareness of other dimensions. Oh, absolutely. You access other dimensions all the time. But the manifestation that you wanted to play with, the exploration of physicality, had to be concentrated and had to be focused within these three dimensions, within these six walls, so to speak. You've got a box, like a cube, right? Within the cube there, you've got the base, you've got the ceiling, and you've got four sides. So you have yourself in a three-dimensional construction. Now, as a light being, even though you knew who you were pretty much, you were progressing beautifully, you were very aware, very conscious, you had to reduce your consciousness in order to fit your focus into such a narrow and small area. You had to fit your focus into three dimensions. You even now find that difficult. Even though you work on many dimensions, generally the physical planes, the physical manifestation, the extent of matter, which includes your mind, all right, is pretty much within a roughly, works within a roughly 49 dimensions. And that's seven levels of seven dimensions each. So you can see how focused you had to be able to really concentrate and to create a substantial reality illusion in only three. We congratulate you. It was quite a job. Quite a marvelous creation. very ingenious of you. But in order to do that, you had to kind of push your focus away, kind of ignore, kind of put on hold, so to speak, your access to the other dimensions so that you could concentrate here. It has taken some effort, but you have done it. Once you got into physical plane manifestation, however, you kind of got stuck into it because to focus here, you had to forget a lot about who you were, how to function and operate on some of those other dimensions that you were very comfortable in, and to focus on how to manifest and create in only three, to show and demonstrate your manifestation in three dimensions. So you entered willingly initially into this box, and gradually, over time, as you have explored consciousness, you have expanded your box. Now, the reason you expand the box is because you have to. It is your nature to grow. It is your nature to learn more. It is your nature to want to explore and adventure and discover and create and imagine and stretch. It is your nature. It is your nature to seek more, to seek yourself in your greater dimensionality, to bring the other dimensions, in a sense, into this one. But you decided, and if you look at it from a linear perspective, you descended through the planes. You descended your focus, narrowing, 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 constricting, 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 until you got here. And then you got kind of lost for a while. You forgot. It was necessary for you to do some of that, yes, so that you could put your focus here, so that you could make this illusion real for you. But you did get lost. You wandered about. You looked for truth. You looked for the light. And you wandered about. However, this particular lifetime that you're in, you began to get the hang of it. You began to expand consciously, by choice, by your directive. You began to feel the call of your soul, the call of your higher essence, a higher and more divine part of you. You also came at this particular time-space intersection on the planet to participate in a great revolution or evolution. And so here you are, and your box right now is probably the biggest it's ever been since you've been into physical manifestation stuff. Now, you might say, well, wait a minute. There were times in my past that I was more successful, that I manifested more stuff, manifested better. You know, right now I'm having an issue with this or an issue with that. We want to point out to you, your box is still bigger. Even if you are just about broke, you feel all alone, still, your consciousness, your awareness of who you are is more than ever. And so your box is bigger. Now, everyone's in a box. The box has certain delineations. These walls represent certain boundaries that you have found convenient to establish. These boundaries, as you grow, become limiting. Now, there are some people who, when they grow, they feel the limitation of the box. They don't think they can expand their box. That doesn't occur to them. So they basically make all sorts of compromises and adjustments so that they can live comfortably within their box. But you cannot live comfortably within your boxes because you're continuously growing. You're continuously becoming more. It is part of your destiny. It's part of the mission you came for, to realize who you are and to participate in a great consciousness experience. You cannot keep your box small. You cannot keep it at one size. Now, every time a person grows, they bang up against the box. It's like you get bigger. What is it? It's like the Alice in Wonderland when she suddenly became really huge. She got really big and then she was stuck in this little room which previously had been pretty big. So you feel very restricted, very restrained. You feel very keenly your limitations when you grow. If you try your best not to grow, you will live with your limitations and accept them as part of you. If you were to drive through a very, very poor, desperate, crime-infested, filthy, dirty neighborhood, the slums, you'll see people there. They're in boxes. And their boxes are small and tight. And they're trying to live within their box. They're banging up against the box, but it doesn't occur to them that they can expand the box. If you go into a neighborhood that's absolutely wealthy to the very nth degree, mansions lined up with beautiful manicured landscaping, expensive cars. These people live in boxes too. They're a little bigger. But your definition of a big box is going to be a little different. Now, what are those limitations you keep bouncing up against? How do you expand your box? Because when you expand your box, when you bust your box, when you bust through those limitations, you don't lose the box. You just expand it much bigger. It gets bigger. And then when it gets bigger, you can move around freely inside of it. And you think, wow, I'm free. I feel so free. And then you grow again. You grow and you grow and grow, and like Alice, you get bigger and bigger and bigger, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, ouch, ouch, I'm against the limitations. I thought I got rid of those limitations. And then it's time to bust it again. Because you're going to grow, you're going to be busting your boxes all through your life. You've been doing it. And you will continue to do it. You're never going to get to a place to where you bust your box and you're free forever. Why? You cannot function without a box. You need some kind of boundaries. You need some kind of structure so that you can work in a physical plane environment. So you can manifest what you choose to manifest, so you can learn to create what you wish to create, so that you can realize yourself in a physical body, which is the real thrilling part of this experiment. No one's done that before, to the extent you wish to do it now, and to the extent it is feasible. So, what are those limits? What are those? How do you define those boundaries? Because if you know what those boundaries are, you can consciously and deliberately keep expanding them, keep pushing them. You can keep your box getting bigger and bigger, and you can maintain a certain sense of freedom. Without a box, it would be way too crazy for you. You wouldn't have any structure to work with. Your reality would have no consistency. It would be very difficult to create in a reality that kept changing and you kept bleeping from, you know, one lifetime to another lifetime to another lifetime to another lifetime, and the disorientation would be as severe. Some people have experienced that under rare circumstances where all of a sudden they're no longer connected to their focus thread to a particular lifetime. And it's very difficult. Some people who have this, when they come back, are what are labeled schizophrenics. They're put in mental institutions because nobody can explain to them what happened. They went too far away. They went outside the box too far. And every time you expand your box, every time you bust your limitations, and you go into that new state of exhilaration and freedom, you also enter a state of chaos. Because you don't have the familiar limitations sitting there in front of you to work on anymore. That's why the great schools of metaphysics in the past have always focused upon what are your limitations and bust the limitations. Get rid of that limitation. So unfortunately, as in development, psychology and psychoanalysis and all those initial personal growth and development techniques were all about defining the limits, looking at the limits, finding out what your limits are, addressing the limitations. It wasn't necessarily about busting out of the limitations, but it was about more than anything learning how to adapt to them, how to kind of ooch them just a little bit, to stretch a little bit. And yes, if you're aware of your limitations, you grow. You do stretch. But you don't complete the process. You don't release the limitations. Now, even though we talk about a box and it's tempting to look at life as a linear experience, easy to look at cause and effect because you're inside time-space. You don't really see all the time and all in every way how time really functions. You don't see how growth is a spiral. You see it more as layers, peeling the layers off the onion, so to speak. A big analogy made, okay, we got to peel this layer off, and then there's another layer, and then there's another layer. But dear one, you never get down to the core of the onion. You just keep peeling layers, right? What we want to talk about today is not about peeling layers. We want to talk about the spiral of growth and how you can stay dynamically powerful, free, feeling the love, feeling safe, regardless of what your external circumstance is. May appear to be, using them instead as your feedback, but maintaining your growth trajectory to that incredible level of consciousness you have chosen, and you have dedicated yourself, and you have committed yourself to get to. The spiral of growth functions as this. You push your limits, you clear your limitations, you expand or stretch your limitations, and you dream beyond them. So today we're going to do some dreaming beyond your limitations. Now, it's not like you haven't been doing that. That's part of your acceleration. That's part of this amazing acceleration, even exponential, that you've been doing in this recent time period within the past couple of years. You have been taking off. You've been really moving. And it's because you've been clearing. You've been clearing limitations. Now, what happens in your growth is that you will clear a limitation. And you're capable of doing it now. Capable of clearing it. And suddenly, you've busted your box. And you're out in the free space. And you're feeling a bit disorganized, disoriented. A bit of chaos. If you don't have a good vision of where you're going, if you don't have a place to hook onto something of a greater level, a greater frequency, what will happen is that this growth that you do will just expand you, and like Alice, bang, you'll bump up against the box again. The expanded box. And then, many of you, when you bump up against the walls, you get challenges. You get financial challenges, love challenges, spiritual challenges, health challenges, etc., etc. And you go, what the heck? I thought I cleared this. Yes, dear one, you have. But what happens is that you give your power away to your external reality to give you feedback as to how big you are, as to how big your box is. And that's the wrong place to go. Because if you do that, when you hit against a wall, you're going to think you have not worked on that. You'll think, I haven't succeeded there. I have to start over. I have to go back and address it now, and I'm going to have to go back and study it. And that's the old consensus idea about growth, is to focus on the issue. You've been there, you've done that. You know your issues. You know your stuff. You know it like the back of your hand, maybe better actually. You can identify it as it's coming. Oh, I see it coming. I see it coming. But if you accept the idea that you have not made this progress, you'll snap back. Your reality will snap back. Your perception of yourself will snap back. Your box will shrink back. And when we look at you, dear ones, we see a lot of times you bust your boxes. They get really, really big. And then you go, oh my gosh. And you grow and grow and grow. And you hit against a wall. And you go, oh, I guess I didn't really grow. You deny your own experience. And think, oh, I still have to go back and do more research on that. I have to figure that one out. I have to work with that. Oh, dear. Oh, I didn't make it. Well, damn it. I guess I was just stupid and in delusion. I guess I didn't have it figured out. Okay, back to the drawing board. What does your box do? Shrinks right back in. We've been watching you. Expand your boxes. Shrink back in. Expand your boxes. Shrink back in. Expand your boxes. Shrink back in. It's time to end that, okay? You don't need to spend all that extra energy and effort that's required to shrink your boxes back in, and then you have to start all over and push it back out again. Think about how not elegant that is, right? Think about how much work, how much extra work that creates for you. So today we want to get you to a place where you can bust your box, make it really nice and big, feel the glorious freedom, and continue to grow. And when you hit the box again, to not recoil in shame, to not judge yourself as lacking in any way, and not to get absolutely terrified and freaked out about the walls you've been hitting. Because the more fear you have about them, the more real you make them, the more you limit yourself. So let's talk about what those walls are made of. What do you use to construct your box? Well, as we said, first of all, of course, you had to create a structure inside the freedom that is part of time-space in a limited construct. You created the idea, and you have fallen in love with it. An idea of linear time. Now, it's very advantageous, actually, to play with it, at least with the narrow focus of the three dimensions, because you've learned to create that way. You have learned to create, plodding step by step by step, building, 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 pushing, pushing, building. The old model did work to a certain extent. Except now it doesn't particularly work anymore. And you see people out there in your world, and you yourself tend to slide back in it if you're not careful, looking at everything on a linear perspective. So we would say the first wall to look at, the initial wall you created was time and space. And creating linear time and creating a lack thereof of time, a sense that there is something other than the now, which there really isn't, a sense of limitation and lack of time and space. In a sense, you did that so you wouldn't go wandering off, so you'd stay here. It doesn't have to be a limitation, okay? Anything we mention that are part of the walls don't have to be a limitation. They can just sense be a boundary. It's your perception that makes the difference there. A second wall that you did, that you put together, second set of boundaries, in a way, is constructed from what you believe. In your mind, you have created certain constructs. You have imbued them with the belief that they are true. You make the assumptions based on that this and that and the other is therefore also true. And you have locked yourself into belief limitations. Initially, you needed belief boundaries. Not limitations, they weren't really restrictive initially, but you needed them to be able to create consistency in your manifestations, to create consistency in the table, into the chair, and the floor, and whatever, and into your body from day to day. And you imbued it with this cause and effect. So your belief systems are tremendously based upon cause and effect. I believe this because this and that happened. No, you believed it because you initially were given the belief from somebody, from somewhere, and you picked it up and said, oh, okay. And they said, well, this is true. And you go, oh, okay. And then you assumed it was true. And then you looked around your reality and voila, you created it. And indeed, it was true. It's like in the Bible, you know, where God looks at the creation and at the end of the day and says, and it is good. Right? You did that. You said, oh, okay, I've created this construct, I've created this limitation, and it is good. Right? We congratulate you. You have learned as an infant, through your childhood, you learned how to put together beliefs, and then how to look out into your world, and voila, there they are. in manifestation for you. Unaware, of course, initially, that you were the one that was doing the creation. So beliefs can become tremendously limiting. Because there comes a point where you go, oh, I'm actually more than that. Actually, I can do more than that. Actually, I can experience more. I can have more success, more love, more joy than that. So belief can be a major hindrance. We're going to do some belief breaking today. You have some core beliefs that you've put together. These came later. Initially, you had beliefs about how reality was constructed. You know how when you're a child, you go out and explore reality to the nth degree. How does this work? What does this feel like? Oh, look at that. And look, oh, that's depth perception. Oh, all right. You figure out what your basic belief parameters are. But then you add what perhaps is the most key, the most critical, the most significant wall or boundary or limitation, and that is your perception of yourself. Self-image, identity. Who do you think you are? Now, if you were a child and acting out, and someone said, who do you think you are? You know that you're supposed to be small. Okay? Ooh, I'm gone beyond my limits. I've gone beyond what is allowable for me. When we ask, who do you think you are? We're asking, how divine do you, how much of your divinity do you own, do you acknowledge? But most people use it to judge you with that terminology. Your self-image. Now, based on your family, your circumstances in childhood, your circumstances as you grew up and what you learned and how you learned it and how you applied your cause and effect and you applied your beliefs, you got certain beliefs about yourself. You built up an identity. I'm the kind of person that, fill in the blank. I always, fill in the blank. Your identity. Those are the limits you place upon yourself. Now, in your society, it's really beautiful that people recognize the lack of education for certain disadvantaged groups is key to keeping them disadvantaged. And so there are many outreach programs by those who are very aware that the more education people get, the more exposure to a greater sphere of influence, a greater reference of life, the more that person can see their potential, the more that person can imagine themselves being more than what they had. And they can pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. That's the terminology they use. And, okay, I'm going to be more. And they can make that choice to grow and expand their boxes. And they can expand their boxes and they can enter the middle class. They've arrived. Right? Or those in the middle class recognizing more education. Maybe this will give me the capacity to get a better job, to get a better income that will enable me to have more, to be more, to have a better life. Maybe I'll get into the upper class. You see, There's always more education. And every time a person gets educated or imbues into themselves or infuses into themselves, integrates into themselves something that they have learned, they expand their box. Education, the actual term, means to evoke and bring forth that which is within. It's really intended to advance a person, to expand their box, to expand their concept of themselves, their identity. If you are hooked into identity of your past, or hooked into the identity of your family, or hooked into the identity of your traditions that your family was part of and your ancestry, you can create an identity for yourself that will continuously imprison you. At every step you try to grow, it will yank you. It's yank on your chain. It'll yank you back. Identity is key. Many times we have talked about judgment and the limitation of judgment. The limitation of judgment comes with your identity and your beliefs and your linear causation idea all working together. Yeah, these boundaries, these limits are not alone. They're not something you can isolate. They work together. But you can take them apart and find what part is limiting and bust that. A lot of times after you've done a lot of growth, if a person were to look at your box, it wouldn't be some nice cube, right? You might have worked really, really well on your beliefs and expanded your beliefs, but your identity may not have shifted all that much yet. So you may, your identity box side wall may be over here, your belief wall may be over on the other side here, but the belief wall will have expanded way out, and so your box will be way lopsided. We can see it in your energy field sometimes. Sometimes people come in and their aura is kind of way off to the side. And we have to go, okay, come on, pull it back over. Pull it back over. Because whatever wall is over here on this other side, where the aura is not, needs to be expanded so that you can stay balanced. So those are some of the limitations. Another limitation comes with what we call the commission of challenge. The commission of challenge is that particular area of life where you have the most problems. But it's also the area that triggers you into the greatest amount of your growth, of your learning, of your awareness. For some people, relationships are always a hassle, always a problem. They're very intense. They're very difficult, very challenging. That's their commission of challenge. But over here, they can make money, or say, or their health is good. Everywhere you have a favorite area that seems to be your more consistent challenge. That doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. It doesn't mean that you're, you know, developmentally challenged in some way, really. What it means is that you have chosen that particular area as your spiritual focus. Because in trying to heal that particular one, you have done your best learning. It's your kick-ass school of growth. It's the one that gets you going. It's the one that you'll go, okay, I will go to that workshop on relationships. See if I can bust that pattern. I will read books on it. I will try to get my mate with a, and me to sit with a counselor and see if we can figure out how to negotiate and talk and with each other. It makes you grow. Your issues very often come with certain agreements that you make with certain individuals, even before you come into this lifetime, very often your parents, to dish out some particular kind of special crap just for you. And they're nice enough to arrange to do that. And they know just the right crap for you. Specific, because you and they have an agreement. Some of these agreements are even more restrictive. Sometimes you make contracts with some of these people. Contracts to experience so much amount of pain and suffering and so on to trigger your growth in a specific way. As an example, the one who channels us had to grow up in a house environment with a mother who was a fundamentalist Christian and was absolute guilt-ridden over every little thing and very strict and very quick to punish, spare the rod, and spoil the child. Almost a Victorian type of upbringing in that one regard. The same mother was very adventurous in other areas of the life, but this one area, very, very restrictive. Now, that's the kick-ass school of growth in operation, right? Because the channel would have enjoyed church if it hadn't have been so painful. If she hadn't seen the distinction between the philosophy of the religion and the actions of the people who supposedly espoused it. Right? That conflict disturbed her, and it forced her eventually. It forced her to go looking for her truth. It forced her to look for a spiritual expansion because she knew she could not live there. She could not function within that box. What box were you given that forced you, or that you used as your leverage, as your impetus to grow, to learn, to shift, to change? What did you use? What gift did your parents give you? That if you had not gotten that, your life would have been completely, totally different. If the channel had not had that type of pressure, she would probably end up a regular old church lady and would have missed her great opportunity to break free. But you see, that was part of the agreement. You want to be done with that now? You want to be done with that? You have made the choice to go on. You've made the choice to grow and learn and expand your horizons. You don't need to carry that commission or challenge with you anymore. You don't need that to be part of your identity. You don't need that to always be the one that kicks you in the ass, right? You don't need that to be your motivation. To motivate yourself through pain, that's the old way of growing, which is to grow through pain and suffering. And struggle and privation, hardship, denial, and lackfulness. Right? Old school. Right? Because if you grow through that, in order for you to take the next step of your growth, you're going to have to create some of that gunk to trigger yourself to continue. And dear ones, you are going to continue regardless of whether that gunk is there or not. But if you put the gunk there as your trigger, okay, I'm going to have pain in my relationship again. Okay, all right, time to grow. If you do that old pattern of growth, then you keep having to shrink your cube back down, your box back in, and then you have to buff it over again. not elegant. It's not an elegant way to grow. But you're stuck in an old identity where you don't see yourself beyond that kick-ass school of growth modality. Now, we're not saying you have not done this already. You've worked on this. You know. Sometimes you are totally beyond it. Sometimes you actually know who you are and that you know you are beyond that. And then guess what? You get hit with another challenge. The temptation is to go running back to the same old pattern. To pick it up and say, here's where I've gotten a lot of growth. Let me go back to it. Temptation. Some of you can resist the temptation and go on. And sometimes you miss it and find yourself slipping and sliding back into a narrower, smaller box. With judgments, with assumptions, limiting beliefs, limiting assumptions about yourself, about what's possible, looking for a cause and effect, looking for, well, what caused this? If you notice, you know, when an airplane goes down, there's one that went down over the Atlantic and they found the debris field and they're spending now tremendous amounts of time wondering what exactly went wrong. As if they knew, if they knew exactly what went wrong, they could prevent it from ever happening again. But if that were really true, there would be no more plane crashes. You know, they even have a problem, you know, with birds flying into plane engines and bringing planes down. Yeah, that problem has not really been solved yet. So they study and study the problem 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 and study the problem. And then maybe put together a new restrictive law, new standards for this and that and the other, and hope, well, I hope this works. This is a patch. Well, I hope this fixes it. That's not where you're going anymore. And in all sorts of legal issues, when you have a legal case, a legal situation, who's responsible? Whose fault is it? If you do that personally, you're always going to find something wrong with yourself. Which brings us to the other limitation, which is your shame, your sense of undeserving, your sense of not being divine. This is something dumped on you from the get-go. Your whole life has been dancing around this one. It's so hard to see the threads of it now. Yeah, you've become aware of it. You've become aware of how much undeserving you've had in the past. You've cleared this and you've cleared that and you've worked with this and you've worked with that. And sometimes you don't even see it anymore, but you just don't receive. Why? You keep going, why? Why do I feel undeserving? Why do I? And you keep going and looking for cause. We would say that that one of the remaining boundary limits is generally blamed for a lot of things, but doesn't really figure in to the why. The boundary that we're talking about is the external circumstances. Talking about your body, the limits of your body, the capacity of your body, the environment you're in, the circumstances that surround you, the structure of your daily life, your routines. These are nice, comfortable, and comforting boundaries, but they're definitely difficult and painful limits if you don't keep expanding that too. Most people like to blame environmental circumstances. Well, I blame this and blame that because it's more comfortable, it's less painful than to blame yourself. But all that ends up doing is giving you more focus, more ammunition on the limitation itself. You understand your limitations, dear ones. You understand so well. Some of you have gotten said, well, if I just understand, then I will be okay. Yeah, well, you got to understanding. But you have to really choose to be okay. You can't buy into the challenge anymore, because then you'll snap back. You want to move forward. You want to expand. There is one time that contraction can be useful. It's not always bad, right? That would just be to excessively judge it. Sometimes you contract deliberately and consciously so that you can integrate and absorb and go within and figure out what you have learned and integrate your new self into your daily identity. Integrate what you've learned into your routines and make those micro changes in your daily life. Sometimes when you get into that focus, you do contract for a while. But it is a conscious, willing contraction, and it can be very useful. It's like when you look out the ocean tides. The ocean tide comes in, the ocean tide comes out. So you've got your flow coming in, and you've got your ebb going out. In a sense, you like both of them. It gives you a sense of flow, gives you a sense of movement, gives you a sense of balance. And so sometimes you need to be by yourself. You need to be in a quiet personal space so you can integrate and think and feel what it is that's going on in you and what you have learned and what you feel you can do about it and how you're going to put that into your life. That's the positive contraction. And that comes with learning. That comes with your education. A lot of people, when they come to that place, get very scared. It's not expanding anymore. I got to keep expanding. I got to keep expanding. And they're basically running away from themselves, pushing and driving harder and harder to make their realities work. And they are doomed, in a sense, to crashing. And that's called burnout. You will need to have expansions and little contractions. Now, the contraction doesn't go back to where you were. Absolutely not. It's just a little bit. Because your energies are going more internal than external. You're not engaged with the external world and you're with your manifestation. You're engaged with yourself. And then you expand some more, contract a little bit, expand some more, contract a little bit. You expand in waves. Contract a little bit, integrate it, expand in the next wave. Now, what triggers the expansion? It's your imagination. Your imagination can be a limit. It can be a boundary for you. How much can you imagine? What can you imagine? Some people say, I don't have much of an imagination. But they can imagine and tell you what the worst case scenarios could be. That's imagination. And of course, they can be self-fulfilling prophecies. because your imagination ultimately brings you your possibilities and your opportunities. So what's the key? Imagining, stretching the imagination, stretching the self, the image of self, stretching your beliefs, stretching and imagining and moving your learning process beyond issues into the theme that it was. Because if your issue, for example, is in relationships, the theme, the positive boundary of it, is about love. If your issue is about money, then your positive theme may be about safety. If your issue is about being unable to express yourself and do your creative thing and do what you want to do and however you want to do it, your theme may be freedom. Or your theme may be power. If you have health issues, health crises, same thing. It could be freedom. It could be power. It could be adventure. Because, of course, if you have a health problem, that limits and restricts your life. That's part of the environment, the body, the chemistry of the body, the structure of the body. This can be a major limitation. To expand that, to heal, you've got to dream health. You've got to imagine health. And you've got to claim it as your identity, as natural to you. And that's the key to busting the boxes. Is to claim a reality, a life that is greater than what you have experienced to date, and to claim and own that it is truly natural for you to have that. That it's right and true and natural, not because you've worked hard at it, not because you must have it in order to do your destiny work, not for any kind of issue to prove yourself, but simply speaking, because it's natural to who you are as a light being. And in that reality is a lot of magic, the synchronicities working for you to bring you freedom in your environment and freedom in your body and freedom to bring you power. For you to choose and take your power to experience what it's like to have a very strong effect on your functioning reality. To receive and to give love. And to feel safe. Safe to be you. Safe to do what you want to do. Safe to live your life. All right. Shall we bust a box? Let's get started. Right. Now before we go, we're going to do a little very quick meditation. We just want to ask you to reflect a moment, to think. To go and kind of go inside and imagine. Imagine something that you would like to have in your life. Something that's natural to you. Something that is more than you have now. Maybe in your commission of challenge area. Maybe more of that theme that it really truly is. Sometimes you can get greater leverage by working there, since that's the place you've played with limitation more. So what is it that you would like to experience? To feel it freely, to have pleasure and joy in it, to feel that it's natural for you, that it's just something that you can anticipate and expect to occur without having to work or suffer about or effort for, that it's just something that's natural to you. It's just natural to the way you are that you will attract this kind of life. What would that be? And what would it be like if you lived there? If you lived in that place, what impact would it have on your life to feel comfortable there? Whether your commission of challenge has been money, love, health, spirituality, personal expression and creativity, whatever your theme actually has been. Imagine yourself there feeling free, enjoying that, being supported as you do that and experience that. Who would you be then? Just stretch a bit, brighten it up, just maybe see a scenario. Imagine a nice scenario. That's the form, okay? The form that it will manifest in. For example, if it's a financial one, you know, see yourself living in a beautiful place, better than what you've even dared to dream about, hope about. Something that's beyond what you think you can afford right now. If it's about relationships, see yourself deliriously, joyously, happy, satisfied, fulfilled. The pleasure of it, the connection, the deep belonging and bonding, all those really juicy, wonderful things that you seek the love with. Feel that. What would that be like if that was just, when you woke up in the morning, you just knew it was there. And it would be there. It's not something that you're trying desperately to hold on to or to find. It's just there. It's part of you, part of your life. Not necessarily to take it for granted. Don't be too casual about it, but just what would it be like to wake up in that gratitude of having yet another day of love or yet another day of experiencing the beauty of your rich environment? Or if it's health, what would it be like to wake up in the morning feeling fabulous, to get up and your body is great? Ah, it just feels fantastic. What would that be like? And that your brain is on, functioning, everything working really well, so you can create and communicate and play and work and do all sorts of great things all day. What would it feel like if that were just natural to you? What if it were natural for you to create marvelous things? What if it were natural to you to be in connection with all your spirit helpers, with your divine self, with beautiful, extraordinary divine beings, that you could just talk to them like you do to a friend? Just call them up, you know, or what if they would send you messages of love? Like when you open up your email and, oh, what a wonderful email comes to you and how it lifts your day. What would it be like if there was that spiritual awareness. Now claim it. Claim that state. Go in your mind's eye now. Just in your mind and just be there. It may help to close your eyes and go within, but it's not necessary. Just, what would it be like to just live in that state? Bring the feeling of that state to you right now. As you are listening to us right this moment. What would it be like if you were just listening to us, just kind of floating in this wondrous ocean of bliss, in that level, in that state of wealth or an abundance or love, health and vitality and vibrancy and aliveness and creativity and expression and adventure and freedom? What would it feel like in your spiritual connection, your belonging? And the beauty around you. Just feel it. Just kind of float in your imagination. Just what would the emotional state be? You can stretch. Now, from this place, how would your life be different? Well, now we're not talking about form now. How would you, if you felt like this all day? What difference would it make? What kind of, if you took this energy and plunked it down in the life that you've had to this point, what changes would it immediately start to make in your life? What impact would it have on your reality? How would your environment shift? How would your body shift? How would your other people relate to you differently? How would you relate to them differently? How would your self-image be? All those kinds of things. What if you could identify yourself as someone who was always filled with magic and glorious happenings and wondrous things? Your life was always a beautiful, expanding, ever intriguing, adventurous experience in a very positive sense. What would that do to your life? How would that bust your life into greater light and freedom and everything that you would love to celebrate? Look at what a difference it would make if that you had a new identity. Imagine the flow it would create. Imagine the movement in your life, the things that would unfold for you, the possibilities and potentials and opportunities. You don't have to imagine them in detail or define them. No. Just imagine what the energy of that would be if that was just natural for you to continuously create more and more of these wonderful opportunities and adventures and possibilities. And not only create that and have that continuously showing up in your life in wondrous, magical ways, but imagine what it would be like if then you could follow some of those things through, or whatever you felt like, through to its conclusion. If you wanted to play with it, what would it be like if that opened up yet others? Other marvelous adventures and possibilities and opportunities, and on and on and on, and you did all sorts of neat things, experienced all sorts of wondrous things, and celebrated your life every day with gratitude and joy and the flow of your life unfolding, unfolding. Nice, huh? Okay, now here's going to be the fun part. Imagine yourself back to where you were earlier today. Come back in, move your box back in. Back into where you were with the limitations that you perceived yourself as having before. Come on back in to the narrow confines of the box. You took a peek outside the box. Come back in. And feel the limits. Feel the restraints. Feel the shift in energy that happens when you do that. Not that much fun, is it? Whew. There you were having a glorious time on these other dimensions, and now you have to come back. Okay. And now, we would suggest, if your eyes are not closed, we would suggest closing your eyes. And in your personal and internal space, to see the limitations as if you were in a box. To feel it. To feel yourself pushing perhaps against one of the walls. Or maybe two of them. You might be pushing against the ceiling. Oh, that explains that headache you've had, right? Or you may be pushing against the wall. Oh, there's that shoulder pain. Just imagine yourself trapped inside this box. Oh, yeah, it's so much bigger than it was. So much more than it was. Now imagine. Stretch your imagination to sense that above you is a starry sky. And there's a whole bunch of stars up there, thousands. It could be a day sky with stars. You don't normally see that on physical plane. That's an astral phenomenon. And there's a bunch of stars that shift out of their position. They come together. They form a big star. The way we form, the way we show ourselves. And send a beam of light down to you. Down into you. And surrounding you. Let yourself receive some light now. We're making a kind of hole in the ceiling of your box. Okay? And shining some light down into you. And as we do that, you start to notice that there are other presences around too. Not just us. But a lot of your spirit friends, a lot of your helpers, other aspects of yourself, other lifetimes of yourself, in other dimensions far, far away, who know more of who you are ultimately than you do now. Perhaps the you that made the decision to become physical. Your spiritual guardians, guardian angels, your crew, we call it. Those who love you and who are with you. You are surrounded. Just sense them. They're showing up. Maybe one at a time or 20 at a time. Surrounding you. All right, dear ones. The count of three. They and we and you are going to bust the walls of this box. And you're going to step into the freedom and into the chaos. We're all going to bust it with you. You're going to visualize the walls busting. Here we go. One, two, three. Just feel them lifting off. Lifting, lifting, off. There they go. Phew! Maybe some walls are sailing off into the sky. Feel yourself grow like Alice in Wonderland. Grow, expand, get taller, huger, lighter, brighter. Way, way, big, 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 light, light, light. Back up to the place where you imagined just a little while ago. There we go. Not all your pieces are there. We're pulling them up. Let yourself feel this sense of freedom. Feel what it feels like not to have those boundaries at wall, the walls now. Just sense it. You're just floating in space. Just floating and floating in space. There you go. Just feel that feeling. It's, don't look for any place to land yet. Just let yourself float in possibility, in the chaos, in the void, whatever you call it, in the light. Just float. All right. All right, now, just hold that sense and let yourself come back to your physical body awareness and open your eyes. But just have that sense that you're floating now. All right. Okay, now what we're going to do now is take a break. A break for a few minutes. And just stay in that state, okay? Take a break for maybe about 10 minutes, something like that. Not a lot. Then we're going to come and talk with you and answer questions and so on. But just take that break now.
Please remain still.
Please remain still. The channel is going to come out. All right. We'll be back with you shortly.